Amen. Good morning.
Morning.
Wonderful singing, everyone, this morning. It's wonderful to worship together with you. Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 28. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb, and with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Okay.
I know it's Easter.
And that's a really big deal for you.
And for everyone else here.
And I just want you to know up front, I'm not here to debate.
Or argue.
Or ask you to prove anything to me.
I'm just here to ask you one simple question. Is it really necessary for me to believe this?
The resurrection of Jesus.
I'm not looking for anything to replace what I already believe.
I'm looking to maybe just add Jesus to my existing belief system.
If this Easter stuff is true for you, then that's great.
And I completely support it.
But that doesn't mean it's necessarily true
for me.
For me.
For me.
Which button do I have to push? That one? Is it true? Is this resurrection business? We've gathered here singing about it. You've done a lot of things to make today possible in your schedules. Some of you have added some family time here. You've gathered your family. It's a big deal in a lot of ways, but it really comes down to that ultimate question. Is it true? Is it necessary that we believe that? Can't we just kind of gloss over it? Can't we just ascend to some of it, but maybe not all of it? Can't we kind of have our own interpretation of what happened there? Isn't true enough true enough? In other words, can't we just believe parts of it and maybe not all of it? Can't we just have our own interpretation of what we believe and what you believe is fine and what I believe is fine and what we all believe is fine about the resurrection? And isn't it true enough? Isn't true enough true enough? I mean, can't we just agree on parts of it? Must I own this whole thing that he really bodily rose from the grave? Can't I have my own view about that? That seems to be the resounding sentiment in 2017. So much so that the Oxford Dictionary said that the word of the year these days is the word post-truth. We live in a generation that's after truth. In other words, we're trying to do life in the environment in which we don't know if there is such a thing as truth, certainly not ultimate truth. And so how do you live in a post-truth culture? If truth is negotiable, what's true for you is not necessarily true for me. What's true for me is not necessarily true for you. Or you can have your own view of truth. There may be facts, and then there's alternate facts. There's truth, and then there's my truth. When you live in a culture like that, it's no wonder people ask, well, okay, sure, I read it. It's plain enough. But what does it really mean? Do I have to own that? literally for what it says? You may recall back in 1966, Time's front cover of their news magazine, the iconic now front cover of the magazine back all those years ago, was the turbulent question, is God dead? And that just set the culture abuzz. Is God dead? Who would dare ask such a question back in 1966? And of course, we've adjusted our cultural conversation to the fact that apparently a lot of people believe God's dead or never was here to begin with. And who is God after all? Isn't it just, in other words, that question kind of set the agenda for a generation or two. Just the other day, not too long ago, Time came out with a cover designed to look exactly like that previous cover that so had impact and influence on America. And they asked a similar question, made it look exactly alike, but they now ask the question, is truth dead? Is God dead? Is truth dead? Can we not know truth? Is it beyond us? Is it merely theory and not practical? Is truth, for all intents and purposes, something that's just up for debate and you determine truth by taking a poll or having an election, and whoever wins gets to set the agenda for what is right and wrong, and the next time whoever comes in, they'll set the agenda for what's right and wrong, and truth is only temporary at best and maybe relative all the time and maybe ultimately not even possible to know. That's America in 2017, and we're asking you to believe that something is true in that culture. Well, I have to ultimately point you to the treasure of God's word to answer these questions. Not long ago in the news, we read this headline, Pink Star Diamond sells for a record $71 million. They called this diamond the Pink Star. It says here it's this 59.6 carat diamond that sold at auction after only 5 minutes of auctioning at $71.2 million at the Hong Kong auction, the highest price ever paid for a jewel in the history of the world. Now that's a treasure. That's a treasure. Men, wouldn't you all love to be able to afford a diamond like that to put on the necklace of your sweetheart? For 2 years, they cut and polished this diamond. For 2 years, to bring it to its absolute glorious magnitude, to its very highest flawlessness, to its very most wonderful way of seeing all the facets and sparkles in it. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to put that kind of treasure, that kind of special jewel on your sweetheart? We would value that because that jewel would just set off the beauty of your sweetheart, right? Not that it would be any prettier than your sweetheart. Your sweetheart's the real gem. But it would just... The world says that's the real treasure. But I want to contend this morning that the truth of the Word of God is even more valuable than this most valuable jewel known to man. The truth of the Word of God. Here's what is commonly said. Your truth and my truth may not be the same. That's commonly believed today, that your truth and my truth may not be the same. But I want to tell you, that only works in Hollywood, Vegas, New York City, and Washington, D.C. It doesn't work in the real world. It doesn't work in Sandusky, Ohio. Now, it may work in the news. You may read a headline, and it may or may not be true. In fact, a couple days ago, the North Korea, the Chinese newspaper had this headline news: North Korea fires projectile. That was China's news, and so American news outlets picked up on China's headline and published it in America, so much so that it said North Korea fires projectile. Now, what actually happened is that North Korea paraded their latest projectile. They didn't fire it. They just paraded it. Got the wrong word. But the Chinese news agency published it, and then the American news agencies began to publish it, and what was false was true in the headline, but it wasn't reality. And the follow-up, the retraction, sorry we made an error, says, and so that's how World War III almost began yesterday. With fake news, false news, wrong news. So we're kind of used to, in these days, that your truth and my truth may not be the same. But in reality, that doesn't work. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you might need to write down just for a reference. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it. A lie is a lie, even if everybody believes it. There is such a thing as ultimate truth. That's the treasure. That's the gem. That's the valuable thing, to know that there really is truth. You have your Bible open to Matthew 28. Would you just turn back one place? I'd just like to have you look at one other place this morning. Would you turn to John 18, verses 37 and 38? John 18, verses 37 and 38, when we address this matter of the truth. And it relates to Jesus' life. In fact, it's all about his trial when he was coming to the place that he was falsely accused and illegally tried and ultimately crucified. When all of that process was going on, that's where we pick up the story in John chapter 18. Look at verse 37. "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world." And why did he come into the world? Your Bible tells you there. If you've got your Bible open and you're looking at it, he says, here's why I came into the world: to testify to the what? The truth. I came to reveal truth. That's why I came. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Did you see that right there? Jesus is drawing a line in the sand and saying there are some things that are true and there are some things that are false, and you had better be on the side of truth. But see, Pilate then, in his response, had that famous question. "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against this man, but you, it is your custom, do what you want with him." Ultimately, he said, asking the question, what is truth? Can you answer that question in your heart and mind this morning? Do you have a reference point for truth? Do you have a true north for truth? I want to tell you this, that Jesus Christ came to reveal the truth. In fact, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me." He didn't just come to teach the truth. He didn't just come to reveal the truth. He is the truth. That's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating this wonderful fact that truth is alive. Time magazine may not realize it yet. They may have God dead. They may have truth dead, but I want to tell you, truth is alive and well in 2017. Truth is alive. Jesus is alive. While some may scoff at the notion of truth today, Jesus revealed the truth in his teaching. Everything he taught was true. Can you wrap your head around that? Everything he taught was true in his teaching. In the example of his life, he lived a life with absolutely no sin. Now see, that's different than your husband, ladies. I don't have to convince you of that. I don't have to preach a whole sermon convincing you about the fact that your husband has sin in his life, do I? Nor do I have to preach a sermon, gentlemen, about the fact that one time your wife sinned. You know? One time, you know, we're not trying to heap it on or anything here, but one time you probably got that. And even that precious child of yours has messed up a time or two. But not Jesus. I'm telling you, this is the truth. He did not commit one sin, not one, not one. His death on the cross was not because of his sin. It was on our behalf. And he really was raised from the dead 3 days later. Jesus is alive. And I'm not asking you to believe that because you're simple-minded or just because I'm so convincing or just because a group of people applies some pressure to you and kind of manipulates you into this. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that there are many convincing proofs of this reality. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. The book of Acts tells us. Many convincing proofs. I'm not asking you to put yourself on the dummy shelf and believe this resurrection of Jesus Christ because you're a dummy, because you checked your brain at the door, so to speak, and unthinking people, believe it. No. I'm telling you that there are convincing proofs of his life after death. I know it's impossible because we don't see people rising from the dead, do we? That's not a common thing you see. And so it seems so impossible that it could not be true. But I'm asking you to believe that that which is impossible in our own way of living is really possible with the supernatural power of God. The convincing proofs are many. For instance, eyewitness testimony. Mary and the other women actually saw the empty tomb. Peter, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, saw him. They're eyewitnesses of his life. And some might say, well, oh, there's an isolated person over here or an isolated person or two over there. But there was a one occasion where he showed himself, revealed himself to a crowd much bigger than this crowd, a crowd of over 500 people at one time. Now, when the book of Acts was written and it says that he showed himself and he gave many convincing proofs, he was talking to a group of people that could go check out those facts with those 500 people that were still alive. You could verify by their eyewitness testimony. Did this really happen? Were you just hallucinating? Were you just deluded? No, here are people that were going around talking about the fact that they really did see him. And of course, it was an empty tomb. They didn't mistake what place was Jesus laid. Oh, there were lots of tombs all over Jerusalem. No doubt they just went to the wrong tomb and found an empty one. No, no. It was well known where he had been laid. They went to that place, and it wasn't just one, it was multiple people that went to that place. It really was an empty tomb, and all the evidence is there to consider. And then think about the radical change that happened in the disciples' lives from fearful, kind of hidden away. In fact, at the crucifixion, there was this abandonment of Jesus, because if you were to be associated with him, you might be the next one on the cross. There was real fear. There was real association with Jesus brought you real danger. And yet, after his resurrection, boldly they proclaimed everywhere they went this truth. How can you explain that other than it is true? It is with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection, Acts 4:33 says. Of course, then the radical change in their worship. They worshiped on the Sabbath, but from the resurrection day forward, believers met regularly on resurrection day, on the Lord's day, on a day that was a work day. They completely changed their culture in meeting on this day to commemorate the fact that, look, regardless of my work, regardless of this, the most important thing to me is gathering on that day, because that was the day we discovered all the kind of the blinders came off. We understood really all that he had been teaching us. Now it all really makes sense. And then, of course, just look around. This group of people gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ is evidence of the fact that Jesus is alive. The way we were singing today, the fact that we've gathered here today and made this a priority, the existence of the church of Jesus Christ, against which the gates of hell will not prevail, is evidence of the truthfulness that Jesus is alive. And really, that list goes on and on and on. Truth is alive. And I want you to understand what I'm saying about Jesus is that the content of his teaching was true. Everything he taught about heaven was true. And look at me. Everything he taught about hell was true. And he taught about it more than anybody. The fulfillment of prophecy in him, not only the place of his birth, but his death, his suffering, servant, all of that, the prophetic messages he fulfilled. That's true. His claims to be the true humanity, the Son of Man, and the Son of God, true deity. It's true. It wasn't just a figment of his imagination. He wasn't just a good moral teacher. He was the God-man. His death as a substitute for you on the cross, for you. I don't want you to just think for the generic for the world. I want you to think for you. That's true. His promise to save sinners is true. You have to realize that you need saving, that you are a sinner in need of the Savior's gift of grace, that full payment on your account. It's true. His ascension back to glory is true. His promise to come again, it's true. Get this. If you've been kind of debating and wondering, I just don't know. I don't know if you can know any kind of truth, particularly about Jesus, particularly about this resurrection business. I just don't know. But wow, I see it so plainly here. Get this reality. It's better to be slapped by the truth than to be kissed by a lie, as some have put it. Listen, this may be jarring to you. This may rock your world, but good. Good. Somebody else has put it, the same truth in another way. Hurt me with the truth, but don't comfort me with a lie. Tell me what's really going on here. Because here's the reality. If this is true, we will stand before him and give account of our lives one day. If this really is true. So tell me the truth so that I'm prepared, not pampered. You can't change the truth about Jesus, but the truth about Jesus can change you and your eternal destiny. See, believe it or don't believe it, it's true. It's true. You can't change the truth about Jesus, but the truth about Jesus, it can change you. It's changed me. I can give personal testimony myself that when I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me my sins and to save me, he did so. I know he did it because his word promised that he would. And it's changing my life. How about for you? What would our next steps be? Friends, all of you here today, this room and the room down the hallway here, your next step, if you've never been saved, is to receive and believe. Like John 1:12 says, to all those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Receive him. Believe what he taught about himself. Believe what he did could be true for you. His payment for sin could be put on your account. Believe that he rose again from the dead, that he is alive today, able to give you eternal life. Believe it. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to save you. Receive that gift of eternal life and do so right now. Right now. I know some people listen to this gospel story and they say, well, listen, that's okay for you. If you believe that, that's okay. But I'm good. They would look at this whole cross thing and they would say, no, really, I'm good. You know, I've been doing my best. I really believe my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. No, really, I'm good. But here's the truth, friend. Here's the truth. You're ready to be slapped. You're not good. You may be good by your standard. You're not good by his. You need what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. Oh, I'm not saying you're not a good neighbor or a good student at school or a good employee. I'm saying by God's standard of perfect righteousness, no, you're not good. You need this. I needed this. And the good news is, he died on the cross, paying your sin debt. Would you receive him as your Savior today? And for all of us who have, here's our next steps. Remember me. Just a little bit ago, we had communion service, and here Jesus commanded, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember everything I taught you. Remember who I am. Remember I will not leave you or forsake you. Remember, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can empower you to live out these commandments that I've given you. Remember that. Don't ever lose sight of it. That's why we take the bread and take the cup to remember, to always have it in mind, to have our minds quickened in the truth of it. Remember, and then rejoice. That's what worshiping is too, isn't it? Rejoicing in him. Rejoice in the truth that he's alive. Rejoice in the truth that we have victory over the grave. And then renew your mind in the truth of God's word. Read it every day. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. Let it literally change your worldview, your philosophy of life, the way you approach your problems. It brings you to the place that you can forgive one another because you've been forgiven. It allows you to be kind and humble and gentle. Why? Because you see that modeled in the life of Christ. So your mind's renewed in the principle of it as you read and read and read and memorize and meditate. And then retell that story. Tell it everywhere you go because it's true. Because it's true. And this world needs it. Remember, speak the truth, even if your voice shakes, and speak it in love. even if it's a fearful thing to do, go and tell. Wasn't that the invitation? Come see the empty space. See the grave is empty. Now go and tell his disciples. Isn't that the spirit of what we do as believers? We have good news, so we tell it. By the way, in the story about the diamond, and they told us how it was worth $71 million, it said in the article here, it says, the pink star, that's what they named it, was mined by De Beers in an unspecified location in Africa. They're not telling you where they found that thing. going to hold on to that treasure of news. That's our little trade secret. Listen, we've got the treasure of God's word, and we want everybody to know. He's alive. He will save sinners. We're not holding on to that truth, keeping it to ourselves, just good for us. No, it's good for the world. We want the world to know this is so good that he is alive. He's coming again. We've got good news to tell. Let's be the ones giving the good news of the gospel everywhere we go. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and think about our response to the Lord today. It's resurrection day. It's really true. And I'm begging you to consider Christ's claim that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. So here's the deal. Right in the quietness of this moment, you could ask the Lord to forgive you and to save you. Does that sound radical? Does it sound life-changing? Well, it is. It really is. And it really is true. Search it out for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Search it out. Maybe you're not ready at this moment to commit, but would you commit to researching it? You research to find the best place to buy gasoline. You research the best place to buy your groceries. You research the best place to research this. Read the Bible. That's the treasure of truth. Christians, have we lost that sense of treasure of the word? Just kind of calling yourself a Christian. Yeah, that's what I did back when I was younger, but it doesn't really relate to my life much now. Listen, we need the truth more today than ever before in this world that's lost its bearings on truth. Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Renew your mind in it. That's why Sunday school is so important and youth group. That's why coming to worship is so important. We're renewing the study of go, make disciples, teach them everything I commanded you. Are you involved in that faithfully? Is that part of your life? Lord, I thank you for giving us the opportunity to respond to you today, for your grace and mercy to allow us that privilege. Oh, Lord, work in our lives. Call us to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Let me just say that the card that you filled out earlier in the service, it's got this special place on the back that we'd just love to know your response today. How can we pray for you? What's going on? Are you searching? Is there a question or something? If you'd like contact, let us know. We'd love to do that. If you just say, I don't want anybody to call me, but I don't want anybody to email me, but this is what I'm going to do. This is my response. Hey, indicate it. We're all on that journey, and we'd love to go on that journey together. Well, redeemed people not only say thank you, but they live in an attitude of gratitude to the Lord. I think that'd be a good note to strike on this resurrection day as we go from here into Sunday school, as we go on to the events of this day. Let's with great hearts of gratitude to the Lord, extol him and worship him as we close our service today. Would you stand with me, please?
Mystery on the cross, I cannot comprehend. The agonies of
He is risen. So, Lord, we believe the truth of that. Empower us by the Holy Spirit to live in light of it in these coming days until you return. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.